Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. This goes for everybody in the sanctuary, everybody on Facebook, everybody on YouTube Live. Good morning, everybody. For this is a day that the Lord has made. Amen. Amen. For those of you who are tuning in online and for those of you who have walked in the door, welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. We are a Bible-believing, Bible-based church in West Philadelphia. And our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford. Amen? Amen. So I got one thing to say, and we're going to go into prayer, but we learn. Some plant, some water, but God gets the increase. This is an increase Sunday. Amen? Amen. We've got a house that is filling up, and it's going to get fuller. We get to celebrate our Elder Ford has come back. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And not only do we get to celebrate him, we've got everything that's been going on in the backyard, the planting of the seeds, and watching the Lord make the increase. Amen. Amen. So shake off whatever's been on you this week. Shake off all those hindrances. Let the stress go right now, right? So we can get in the presence of the Lord and we can hear a good word that'll be written on our hearts. Amen? If we can all stand, I'm going to open us up in prayer and then I'll give us a scripture. Then I'm going to turn it over to our praise and worship team. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you've brought us to another Sunday. With all the stuff that has been going on, you brought us here this morning and you prepared a good word for us. We thank you, Lord, for as we look around and see all of us, how you've watched over us, how you strengthened us. Hallelujah. How you loved and sacrificed yourself for us. Thank you, oh Lord. You've got more than two or three gathered today in your name. Come sit next to us, Lord. Let us feel the warmth of your love and your presence. Prepare our ears, our hearts, and our minds to receive that word. That you would write it on the fleshy tables of our heart. That we would receive a word this morning that our minds would understand. A word that would increase and encourage our faith. A word that would transform and renew our minds. And a word that strengthens us to witness to those who do not know you. Lord, that we would be used to build your kingdom as you are teaching us about the tabernacle you are building in us. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Be glorified throughout this day. In what we do and what we say. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 If we can remain standing, I'm going to be reading from Galatians, the 6th chapter. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 5. And listen. Listen to the Word of God. Amen. Brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Amen? Amen. Amen. And we need the Lord to bring us through. Amen. So I'm not going to delay any longer. If there's anybody outside, come on in. I'm going to turn it over to our praise and worship team. Let us what? Glorify the Lord. Amen. Amen. Look at all that he has done for us this day. Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord this morning. Amen. Come on, give him some glory this morning. Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Bless his name this morning. If it's not robbery this morning, clap your hands this morning and give him glory this morning. Amen. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. He woke you up this morning. Hallelujah. Like the dew in the morning. I want him to rest on my heart. Like the dew in the morning. I want him to rest all over me. Hallelujah. Bless his name this morning. Come on, don't think it robbery. He is due that glory. He is God all by himself, and he doesn't need us. Oh, but he loves us so. Amen. Come on, I help join in. I know you know this one, because this is an oldie but a goodie, but like the dew in the morning. Amen. 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 Like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart. Like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart. Rest, Jesus. Rest, Jesus. Rest.
Gently rest upon my heart. join us on this next song. Because we're singing it, although he doesn't know, in honor of Bishop James Ford.
All right.
Okay? This song is He's Able. Hallelujah. And if any one of us knows that he's able to do all things through his name, it's Bishop James Ford.
Amen.
God has blessed his 85 years. And in turn, he's been a blessing to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Exceedingly, abundantly, above all, hallelujah, you could ask or think according to the power that worketh in you. In you, hey, God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
He's able! Glory! Yeah. Come on! Help me sing! God's able!
God is able to do just what he said he would do.
He's gonna fulfill.
Don't give up on God.
on God.
Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up on you.
Don't give up on God.
Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up on you.
Don't give up on God.
Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up on you.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
If you have your Bibles, we're going right to the Word of God, continuing our series in the book of Haggai out of the Old Testament. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. Again, if you have your Bibles, we're continuing our series through the book of Haggai out of the Old Testament. Haggai, the second chapter, verses 1 through 9. We're going to be adding to the witness out of the book of Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. Okay? And as you find those passages, I am going to invite you to stand with me this Sunday. Again, out of the Old Testament, the book of Haggai, the second chapter, verses 1 through 9, staying in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. Amen? So let's give our attention to the Word of God. It says, in the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, So my spirit remains among you, therefore do not fear. Verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, and I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be, don't forget verse 8. Look at somebody and say, don't forget the silver and gold. And we need that verse, Pastor. if you don't cover any, get the silver. Look what verse 8 says, the silver is mine, right? And it says, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, my goodness. And the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Somebody somewhere say amen. Come on, let's add to the word of God. Let's add to the witness out of the book of Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. To place this in context, much of what Ezekiel the prophet writes in his record looks forward to the millennial reign of Christ Jesus. Okay? Juxtapose that to Haggai. Putting Haggai in context, Haggai was talking to a current people about a current problem in a current time. Okay? So Haggai, he was preaching to real people about real situations right then. Okay? But so that you understand Ezekiel, much of Ezekiel, he prophesies about a coming kingdom. Okay? That coming kingdom is the millennial reign of Christ Jesus. Okay? Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. Afterward, he brought me to the gate that faces towards the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. That means the brightness of God was all the power and electricity they needed. Right? Here it is. Verse 3, and it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw. Again, he prophesied, he foretold. So he spoke to people now about what he saw in a vision of things yet to come. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the visions which I saw by the river of Shabar. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. Okay? Here it is. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by the way of the gate which faces towards the east. Last verse, verse 5. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. Right? And here it is. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it.
This morning, I'm going to talk from the subject of dealing with disappointments in building. Okay? Dealing with disappointments that are guaranteed whenever you build. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you. This is the Lord's Day. We thank you for honoring us with your presence. And we now honor you by giving our full attention to the Word of God, that we might hear, that we might understand, and above all, that we might obey. Cause us to not be hearers only, but inspire us to be doers of the Word of God. This is our collective prayer. We ask it in the name of the only begotten of God, Christ Jesus. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary as well as upstairs in the overflow. To play a quick catch-me-up game, the book of Haggai, as I shared with you at the outset of the month, at the time it is written, the king of Persia has granted the Israelites the opportunity to return to their homeland, the city of Jerusalem, not only to return, but to also rebuild their temple and reestablish their religious worship. Okay? Because the Israelites had been defeated by the Babylonians, by King Nebuchadnezzar. And not only did he capture them and enslave them, he had also ransacked and destroyed the house of God, known as Solomon's Temple. And then after that, he deported them all over the Babylonian Empire. Now, according to the prophecies of Jeremiah and Daniel, God not only foretold of this destruction, but he also foretold of the returning and the regathering of a portion of the Israelites back to the holy city. And by his own spirit, and in fulfillment of his own word, God stirred up the spirit of King Darius to do exactly what God had said. God, the king comes, he sets a decree, and he tells the Israelites, you are now free to return home, as many as you want to go, you can go, return to your homeland, rebuild the temple, Solomon's temple, reactivate your religious worship services, all of your feast, all of your celebrations, and you have my permission. Not only did he allow them to go, but as we read on the first Sunday, he actually gave them out of the king's treasury all of the artifacts that were taken out of Solomon's temple. So all of the gold candlesticks and the vases and the basins, all that had been, that had remained in the king's possession, he now gave it back to him. He said, this stuff belongs to you. It belongs to your God. Take it. Go. He wrote letters that the people in that land were to help the Israelites when they came back. He sent word. He said, look, this is the decree of the king. The Israelites have my permission and authority to come back, help them whatever resources they need to rebuild the temple of God. Okay? So that's just the backdrop of the book of Haggai. And it's during this time period that now Haggai prophesies to the people. Okay? No matter what you build or when you build, and no matter how you build, hear me and hear me well, there will always be disappointments in building. Okay? Let me say it again. If you want to take a note, you do it. Write it on your hand or something. No matter what you build, no matter when you build, and regardless of how you build, there will always be disappointments in building. Okay? If I don't say anything else, I've said enough. Right? And let me ask this question. Do I have any witnesses to that statement? Right? 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 Folks who have taken the initiative to step out and try to build something. Whether you're trying to build a marriage or a family, whether you're trying to build a house or a church or a synagogue, whether you're trying to build a business, whether you're trying to build a nonprofit, doesn't matter what you build. Doesn't matter when you build it, when you're young, when you're old, right? Doesn't matter. There will always be disappointments in building. Years ago, when we took the initiative to redevelop our church facility, we went to the bank with the plans and with the budget. And this is what the bank said. Okay, I see that. All that's good. They said, we can approve you for that amount, but we're actually going to approve you for more than you asked for. Right? That's exactly what he said. He said, we don't fund any building project where there is not at least 10% extra set aside in the budget, because anytime you build anything, there's always what? Disappointment. You're always going to need more wood than you thought. You're going to need more drywall than you estimated. You're going to need more wire, more pipe, more plumbing. Right. And I know you did your best job with the architects and laying it all out and counting the square foot. No matter what you build, there will always be disappointments. Right. And so that with that as a backdrop, that's what we come to now when we come to the book of Haggai. But let me say this before we get down to it in the text. I will say this. The only one that I know of who has ever built something without facing disappointment is God. That's the only one I know. That's the only one I know. God says of the creation account in Genesis that on the six days he spent building this universe, this world which we live in, at the end of each day, God said, it's good. And if there were any problems, he didn't tell us. And I'm assuming it's not in the record because he didn't face any. That whatever he set out to build that day is what he built by the end of the day. And when the day was over, he looked at it and said, it was good. Okay? So, and I'm setting you up. I'm taking you down the road. Whatever we build, we always face disappointment. But whatever God builds, he builds successfully without disappointment. Okay? If you got it, say, I got it. You may not believe it, but you're two-thirds through the sermon. If you could just get that other third piece and tie it, you'd be down the road. Okay? Let me try to fill it in. So here we go. Now we're in the book of Haggai. So before we get you, let me just give you this, because so you can understand what Haggai's talking about. Now, this you don't need Bible for. You may know this just from world history. It says everything that historians know about Solomon's temple comes from the Bible. The Bible offers a detailed description of what King Solomon's temple looked like, including its exact dimensions. All of that is found in the book of Kings and Chronicles. You can read all of that. According to the Bible, the temple was built from masterfully quarried stone blocks with a roof and interior lined with lavish wood planks. Solomon used pure gold to overlay the temple's holy inner sanctuary. And it was there that he placed a pair of 15-foot tall cherubims. They were there to guard the Ark of the Covenant. Solomon's temple was so magnificent, it was considered, and still is, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Are you following what I'm saying? This is Solomon's temple that he built to honor his God, right? And that the Israelites worship him. So that is their history, right? And so that's in their past. And so now we come to their present. Now we're in the book of Haggai, and now we can get down to it. And so and the word of the Lord comes by Haggai. And this is what he says. He says, now speak to Zerubbabel. Also speak to Joshua, the high priest, and speak to all the remnant of the people of Israel. And God says, Haggai, this is what I want you to ask them. Who is left among you who saw this temple, Solomon's temple, in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Okay? Its former glory, when Solomon built it, was one of the seven wonders of the known world. You follow what I'm saying? It was one of the best buildings projects ever completed in world history. Right? That was then. But now, the temple, that same magnificent temple, lays in ruin. King Nebuchadnezzar has come, and the word the historians use said he razed the temple, R-A-Z-E-D. That means not only did he knock the walls down, he burnt it to the ground. And this is now, I told you, the king of Persia has now defeated the Babylonian Empire. Now that they have taken over, and they now release the Israelites to go back to their homeland and rebuild this temple. When they come back not to a magnificent temple, but what they come back to is a ruined and burned down temple. Right? That's what they come back to. And God, and we spent last Sunday talking about, God had to stir up their spirit. Remember, last Sunday, God had to stir them up to re-engage in the building process because they had stopped building, right? And I told you last Sunday they had a halfway finished house, right? Which is one of the worst house to have on the block. Either redo it or don't do it at all. Nothing worse than half doing something, right? Right. But they in the middle of it, they stopped. And so God stirs up their spirits. And so now they're re-engaged, and now they're making progress. The walls are going up. The roof is being laid on. The artifacts are coming back into the Holy Spirit. It's starting to take shape now. It's starting to come into view, right? And now God asks them, he said, I want you, those of you that are left, how does this compare to the former temple that Solomon built? Are you getting the picture? The picture is there's no comparison. Look what the word of God says in verse 3. He says, in comparison with it, or in comparison to it, to Solomon's temple, look what he says. Is this not in your eyes as nothing? When you compare the two, what Solomon built compared to what Zerubbabel was building, there was no comparison. Are you with me? What do you do when what you envision what you imagine or what you hope for is not the reality of what you see. What do you do when you finally make up your mind? I'm going to go after my dream. I'm going to go after my hope. I've been talking all my life about doing this or doing that. And you finally get out to do it. And you finally start getting down the road and start getting it accomplished. And then you take a moment and you step back to look at how it's all coming together. And what you see presently is not what you envisioned in your mind. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever done that? You had a goal, you had a vision, you set out, only to get down the road and find out that what you were building doesn't look like what you saw in your vision. Are you with me? And what happens to us is exactly what happened to the Israelites of Haggai's day. Many of the Israelites who remembered, and many more who, although they were not old enough, had heard the stories of the magnificence of Solomon's temple, they had become disappointed with the mundane and ordinary look of Zerubbabel's temple. The Israelites are so well known for passing down their history. And so even though they had been captive for 70 years, yet the stories of King David and the stories of Solomon and the stories of Solomon's temple had always been passed down. So when they set to rebuild Solomon's temple, the image that they had in their mind went back to the images that they had heard through the stories and history of their people. Are you following what I'm saying? But now that they had engaged in this rebuilding project, rebuilding the house of the Lord, what they had accomplished in the building project does not look like Solomon's old temple, right? What do you do when what you're building doesn't look like much? What do you do when you look at what you have built and you start facing disappointment, right? It's not. When I 6 months ago, I was all excited because I thought when I finished, it was going to look like this. And it's nowhere close. All right. The thing is, if you're not careful, what happens? Disappointment sets in. Right. And then disappointment, if not checked, will lead to discouragement. And if discouragement is not checked, it will lead to despair. Okay, these are the three D's or the three dangers of building: disappointment, discouragement, and then despair. And once you hit that final stage and you fall into despair, the last step off of the bridge is what? You quit. You step down, you throw in the towel. You know what you say now? It's not worth all of this. Not if this is how it's going to look when I'm finished. I give my life to it. I give all that I have to it. And this is all that it looks like, sounds like, or feels like when I'm done. Very soon after, the towel goes in. And you quit. And God recognized this in his people because, unlike God, who when he builds, always builds successfully and never encounters disappointment, we, his people, who although we are his people, we are not completely like him. And so when we build, we face disappointments, setbacks, problems, overruns. And oftentimes we become discouraged. And oftentimes our discouragement leads to despair. And so the question becomes, how do you deal with the disappointments that are guaranteed to happen when building? Right? I think we've exhausted enough time covering the fact that there will be disappointments. So instead of praying, oh God, let me build and have no problems. Let me help your prayer life this Sunday. Stop praying that prayer. It will not be answered. No matter what you build or when you build it or how you build it, there's what? There will always be what? It's going to happen. So instead of praying that it doesn't happen, meaning you must be like God, start praying like you're human and say, Lord, help me when the disappointments come so that I can better manage the building process and what? And not quit. Why? Because the race is not given to the, I wish I had a real church, not to the swift, nor to the strong, but he that what? Endures. So how do I deal? Look at somebody, help me preach. How do you deal with disappointment? That's the question of the day. Look at verse 4 and 5. Here it is. Now God says, through the voice of Haggai, this is what he tells Haggai. Because now, Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the remnant of Israel are now facing disappointment. And God knows the slippery slope they're on. So he stirs up his man of God, Haggai, and say, send the word to my people. Now here's the word that Haggai brought. Haggai says, here it is now. He says, yet now be strong, Zerubbabel. Trying to encourage him. Here it is. Be strong, Joshua, and all you people of the land, be strong, saith the Lord. So God, through his word, sends encouragement to his people. Right? And then look what it says. He says, I not only want you to be strong, but he says, I want you to continue to work. Look at somebody and say, keep working. He said, while you're working, I want you to remember something. He says, remember that I am with you. Look at somebody and say, you're not working by yourself. It may feel that way. It may look that way. Some days it may actually be that way. But God sent a word to you and said, remember that no matter what it looks like, feels like, or sounds like, he said, I am. Look at somebody and say, you got help. He says, look, he said, I am with you. Then look what he says, verse 5. He said, according to the word that I covenanted or promised, look at this, promised you when you came out of Egypt. Get this. He says, not only am I with you, everybody grab your Bible. Lift up your word. He said, not only am I with you, but my word is with you too. So whenever you can't see me, and whenever you can't feel me, you always shall have my word. That's why David said, thy word, O Lord, have I hidden in my heart. I always shall have the word of the Lord. Here it is. And he says, so first you got me. Then you got my word. Look at verse 5.
This is what the Word of God says. A three-strand cord is hard to break. If you know anything about your Bible, if you know anything about your God, He works in threes. God said, you got my presence, my word. And He said, to seal the deal, I'm going to send my spirit. You got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The triune God is on your side. Somebody shout, yeah. Then He says this. And because I am on your side, He said, do not fear. Don't lose heart. Don't lose courage. Keep on working. I'm on your side. I got your back. Friends may come. Friends may go. Family may leave. But God says, I shall always be with you until the end. Don't push me, boys. I'm close to the edge, and I'm trying. Here it is. Get back to the word. Here it is. Get this. Verse 6. For the Lord of hosts says, once more, in a little while. Everybody look at your watch or your iPhone. Right? Look at somebody and say, tell me what time it is. I got to know what time it is, because God says, once more, in just a little while longer, look what He says, because you are my beloved, He says, I will shake heaven. God said, I'm going to stir up my throne room. But not only will I shake heaven, but I'm also going to shake earth. That's where you live. Not only will I shake heaven and earth, He said, I'm going to shake all nations. God said, I'm going to stir up people who don't even like you. I'm going to stir up people who don't even want to help you. I'm going to send help from the north, help from the south, help from the east, help from the west. God is getting ready to shake it up, shake it up, shake it up. Somebody shout yes. Woo! Yes! Shake it up! Shake me up! Shake my family up! Shake my children up! Woo! Let me have it, boys. Touch somebody and say, get ready to shake it up. Yeah, yeah. Now look, I don't mean shake it like you at the club. Wait, wait, wait. Look at it, look at it. I know where some of you were on Friday night. That's not the shaking I'm talking about. But I'm talking about a Holy Ghost shake, a Holy Ghost praise, a Holy Ghost dance. He said, in a little while, I'm about to shake heaven and earth. Touch somebody and tell them, shake it up, shake it up, shake it up, shake it up. Yes, God shall shake it up again. Now, let me tell you why God is shaking it up. Let me tell you why he's shaking heaven for you. Let me explain why he's shaking the earth for you. Let me tell you why God is going to shake people up. People you don't even know. People who are, you don't even know they're aware of what you're building. But God said, I'm getting ready to shake everything. Look, here it is. Look at the word of God. This is what he says. Because I will fill this temple with my glory. God wants you to shake it up. Because glory is on the way, and God doesn't want anything left like it was before. So before the glory comes, God said, I'm going to shake it all up, and when I'm ready, I'm going to send my glory into whatever you are building. Somebody put your hands up and say, God, send the glory. Send the glory. Send it on down. God, let the Holy Ghost come on. Come on. Come on down. Send the glory. Send the glory. Yeah. I got to get out of this sermon. I got to get out of it. Here it is. Here it is. So no matter what you're building, don't stop because of disappointment. Don't quit because of discouragement. And whatever you do, don't give in to the feelings of despair. Just like God stirred up Haggai, so the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me now to preach the gospel and to tell you, keep on building, keep on building. the glory, the glory, the glory of the Lord is on the way. Yeah, glory's coming. Glory's coming. Now here it is. We're getting out of here on this. I'm over my time limit. We got to get out into the farmer's market. But God told me to tell you this. Here it is. He told me to tell you, when the glory comes, the Bible says, wait for the vision, though it tarry. I mean, you got to hang in there. Help me preach. Test three people and tell them, hang in there. Don't stop building. The glory is coming. Through disappointment, in spite of discouragement, and even despair, hang on in there. The glory is coming. Look what verse 9 says. And God says, when the glory finally hits your house, he said, the glory, are y'all looking at this in the word, of the latter house shall be greater than the former house. God wanted me to tell you, shake it up. Keep building. The glory is coming. And when it hits your house, the glory of the latter house shall be greater. Here's your praise point. It's going to be greater than the former house. God is going to take your mess and turn it into a mansion. God is going to take your stuff and turn it into a beautiful skyscraper, because the glory of the latter house shall be greater. Touch three people and say, greater, greater, greater is coming. Greater. Greater, greater, greater. It's on the way. It's guaranteed. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Here it is. Here it is. We're done. But this is how we're going out. The Bible said, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. So we're going to close this sermon out in high praise. So I need everybody in the sanctuary, everybody upstairs in the overflow, everybody outside in the farmer's market, let everything that has breath, give the Lord some kind of praise. Go for it. Go, 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 go. Yes, yes, guys, I need something I can dance to. Give me some old church music. I feel the glory coming. I feel the glory coming. God said, shake it up. It's time to give the Lord some kind of praise. In this place. it up. Shake it right now. The glory is coming. The glory is on the way. Woo! Yes. Yes. He's not done with you yet. The building is not finished yet. He promised that the glory in the latter house shall be greater, greater, greater. Woo! Woo! Oh my goodness. I feel the glory coming. Yes. I feel them in my hands. I feel them in my feet. I feel the glory all over me. Woo! Oh, my, 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 my. The glory. The glory. Let it fall. Let your glory. Let it fall. Hear me and hear me good. Whatever you are building, let me qualify it for God. What did I tell you last Sunday? He wants us to build a house for him. That was the whole sermon last Sunday. The title of the sermon was Building a House for God. So whatever you're building, in Jesus' name, you don't have to call me. You don't have to send me an email and say, Pastor, we got to get together. No, we don't. No, we don't. Everything you need is in the Word of God. And my job under the anointing of Haggai is simply to stir you up. My job is simply to keep you from quitting today. So even though you are dealing with disappointment, and I know many of you are, you're disappointed because the loan didn't go through. You're disappointed because after 6 months of cleaning up your credit, your score is no higher. I know many of you are disappointed because you really wanted that job. I wasn't so concerned about the other ones. I didn't really want, but that one, Pastor, I called you about it. We went into prayer about, and I didn't get it. So I missed church this Sunday because I was discouraged. I didn't want to come to church and everybody asked me the same question. Did you get the job? And now you're dealing with discouragement. And one of the greatest things that has happened in recent times is the 800 suicide number now available all over the country.
You can dial that hotline now and get suicide prevention help immediately. Pastor, what does that got to do with Zerubbabel, Joshua? Because if you face enough disappointment and you deal with enough problems that cause your spirit to get further and further discouraged, it's just a few more inches before you fall into despair. And then it's not only not coming to church, now it's about what you're going to do while you're home. And in the darkness, in the secluded space of your own basement, bottle of Tylenol, sleeping pills, not for a headache, but to end it all. Now, do you see why God stirred up Haggai? Just like the people would have quit and given up their hope, their dreams, and their lives in the time of Zerubbabel, so it is today. And I'm not talking about people just in the world. I'm talking about believers in the house of God. They're thinking about it. They're talking about it. Wishing to God somebody would call them. Somebody knock on my door. And keep me from doing. The word of God said, our God is a very present help in our time of trouble. So when no one comes, no one calls, no one from the church reaches out. You haven't been to church in a month and it almost seems as if no one cares. God sent me with this message to remind you that God cares. And even in your basement and in your state of despair and in your state of drunkenness, God said, I want to remind you, I'm with you even now. Said, and if you trust me, just a little while longer. Give me a minute. God just said, give me a minute. I'm about to turn heaven and earth upside down for you. And not only am I going to shake things up, so I'm going to send you my glory. And everybody will know that you are a child of the Most High God. How are you going to know? You're going to walk around with your Bible, your cross. You got a cross on your pinky and your thumbnail. I said, that's not how they're going to know. They're going to know because my glory, my holy aura is going to be all around you. People are going to look at you and say, you know what? I don't know what it is, but there is something different about you. And all you got to tell them, God held me up until his glory came. I did nothing on my own. I can take you in the basement. I'll show you the pills. They're still there. I show you the needle. It's still, I never got rid of it. God just came and said, you don't need it. And while he talked with me, his glory began to fill my house. First, he filled my house. Then he filled the house. Then he brought me back to the church, and then he filled his house. and the glory of the latter house has turned out to be greater. And my testimony is that I'm so glad God sent the spirit of Haggai one Sunday in October. I'm so glad I came to church today. I don't know what to do. If I would have missed this Sunday, you would have had the right to slap me when you saw me. Joker, you should have been in church, because God sent the very message that you needed. He sent you a word that kept you holding on. What does word say? Just a little while longer. That's all. He said, I'm not far away. I'm right near you. Just hang just a little while longer. Tie a knot in it. But hang on in there. He said, I'm sending my glory. You already got my presence. You already got your word, though you don't read it. You already have my spirit, though you don't obey him. But God said, I'm not going to hold it against you. Because you are my beloved, I'm going to send my glory. And everything in your life is going to start turning around. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but God said, I'm about to turn it around. The situation is turning. The problem is turning. It's not completely turned, but it's turning. Wait. If you believe God is turning around, just give him a 360 as a sign of faith. I believe he's turning it around. We're going to close this message out with a word of prayer. As I pray for you, pray for yourself. And don't pray that there be no disappointment. Stop praying that prayer. Don't pray that there'll be no discouragement. It won't happen. Stop praying that you're always happy and never have a down day. No. But when you pray, just pray to the Lord God and say, Lord, help me. Help me to hold on until you send your glory. Our God and our Father and our soon coming King. Lord, we thank you so much for your abiding presence. We thank you so much for the wonder of your word. And we thank you so much for the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. But it seems like in spite of that, sometimes I do give in to despair. And God, I hate to admit it as the pastor of this church, but sometimes I too get discouraged. And God, sometimes the problems are so big. God, I got to be honest. I become fearful. Because I say, there's no way in the world I can get out of this. But thank you for your word. You told me to fear not. And so I'm going to overcome my fear with the faith you've given me. And by faith, I shall not fear. I'm going to trust in you, Lord. And I'm going to believe that you're able somehow, some kind of way, to get me out of this. And you're going to help me finish what I have begun building
in your name. God, we're your people. We are the sheep of your pastures. If you will lead us, we shall get home. Lord, remember everyone under the sound of my voice. Reclaim the backslider. Encourage the despondent believer. Lord, and save the sinner today. So that we, when we gather, the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem, we can sing praises to your name for the victory you have gotten us by your own right arm. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And we give your name the glory. And all of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. Come on, give the Lord your best praise. Put your hands together. Give him your best praise. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. God bless you, Taylor.
Isn't it wonderful to be blessed with a good word? Amen. Take that with you. Take that with you. Just going to say a couple things and wrap us up. For those of you who are seeking salvation, who are seeking prayer, who want to know more, this word touched you, but you still have questions, reach out to us. You can call us on the church line, 215-748-4578, or you can go to taylortabernacle.com. Click the button for contact us or prayer. We will reach out to you and help you. Amen? Amen. Because this word was pulling on somebody, as the pastor said. So whoever you are, whether you're in the sanctuary or out there on YouTube or Facebook, reach out to us so we can help you. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to move. I'm going to give an announcement and then we'll go to offering. Amen? So for those of you that do not know, this is our farmers market, our soil to sanctuary. Amen. Amen. Mentioned it before the service started. The Lord's abundance has been growing out there. Amen. Amen. This is an opportunity for all of us to see and purchase. Amen. And enjoy the Lord's abundance. And thank everybody for coming out today. And what I'm going to do to get us moving, because the hour is a little late, I'm going to give us our information regarding, drum roll please. Offering time. Amen. 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 Just so you know, there's always a few ways you can give. Amen. First, you can give by texting the code Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 61, to the phone number 73256, and you receive instructions and a link. Amen? Next, you can give through our website, taylortabernacle.com/giving, and follow the instructions. You can always give by U.S. mail. You would send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA, 19139. And I'm sorry. There's now Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309 or Cash App at $TaylorTabernacle. Amen? Amen. So there's more ways. And then last but not least, for those of you who are here in the sanctuary, we have the baskets for our speaker, for our pastor, and also for our tithes and offerings right over there on the side. So you can drop it off there on your way out. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Everybody's like, all right, we ready to wrap it up, Deke? Well, before we wrap it up, we got to have our pastor come out and give us the benediction. Amen? So let us all rise. Amen?
Amen. Here in the sanctuary, upstairs in the overflow, in your homes, wherever you are, let's stand as we close out this time of worship. As we're standing, I am going to invite my sister, Cindy, bring Dad up. Just want to bring Dad up. I just want to get him on the camera. So many of you have been asking about my father and inquiring about his health, his status. Just so you know, on yesterday, we celebrated his 85th birthday. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for Bishop Ford. We celebrated his 85th birthday. Some of you were there. Those of you who were not, you have an opportunity today. I promised that he would be here with us. And so I promised some folks who couldn't make it, they said, get him on the camera so that we can see Bishop Ford. So there he is, live and in living color. Amen. And for those of you that may not have known before he left, many of us, the last time we saw my dad, we were wheeling him in a wheelchair. We had oxygen tanks sitting next to him in case he lost his breath. We had a medical nurse on standby. That's how sure we were of the fragility of his health. But look what the Lord has done today. And just like he was before his health went down, he has outshouted many of you. He's still the loudest one in the church house. Right, right. Some of you are half his age and still can't out-yell him. We thank God. But one of the reasons I also wanted to share with you, you know, today in our farmer's market, our Soil to Sanctuary, one of the things we're doing is highlighting the garden at Turning the Tide. For those of you that don't know, when we first started 2 years ago, 24 months ago, I told the people that came to me with the ideal of the garden, this is what I said. I said to them exactly what Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to the help staff at the wedding of Cana. She said to those guys, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And they're all outside setting up. But when they came to me, oh, Pat, we want to do that. We're going to use all this. They had all these big ideas. I said, whatever. I said, get my dad involved. And whatever my dad tells you to do, do it. And they faithfully did it. And today, when you go outside, you'll see what the Lord has done. Today, the Lord has given us increase. Right? Right? God bless you. I'm going to close this out. Any money you spend at today's farmer's market, it will be helping black churches with garden. You spend money today out here, it's going to be helping black farmers from the South. An 18-wheeler came up from North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Any money you're spending is going back to black farmers in the South. Any money you spend today at any of these vendor tables will be helping black and brown business owners here in the tri-state area. Okay? I just want you to know that today we're supporting black business, black farms, and black churches by what you give today. So I just want to thank you in advance for your generosity of spirit. Amen? All right, Pop, I'm going to have you give us the benediction, all right?
There's so much I could say and would say if we had time. But did you guys hear the message this morning? There is no need for you to get discouraged and quit. And all that is in the Word of God. Now you read the Word of God, you find it just like he said. But if you don't, the devil is going to steal your sword. You got a nose on your face. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's out to get you. Read the book of John, verse 10. Just look in there. You see, tell you exactly what he is. He's a thief. He's a deceiver. Way back in the Garden of Eden, just like he deceived Eve. God gave Adam the word what he wanted done when he married a woman. And she just took over when she wanted to and put all of us in trouble.
God bless you, Bishop. Let's head out to the farmer's market. The Lord be with you.